So I wonder if we go back to lockdown last year, I wonder if there are any things that you undertook you'd never done before. Because some of us, you know, we couldn't go out, we had to stay at home, we could go for a walk, so it was the opportunity to try new things, wasn't it? Yes, yeah, okay, yeah, just agree with me, it was. And so Tracy and I, we kind of sat at the dining room table and we did do some painting. Well, she did painting, I did like colouring in. It wasn't great, I have to admit. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, one day I'm going to retire. Shall I do painting when I retire? And the answer is going to be no, okay? Tracy, for her birthday, then got some of this modelling clay, and we sat down and we made some clay pots, okay? And I'm going to reveal for the first time in public what I made, okay? But it gets better, okay? So this is what I created. What do you mean, nice?
That's a pity, nice.
That's the best colour. I chose the colour, and I also decided to put the rope effect around it and paint that white. Nice. So I had the right idea, but perhaps the actual delivery of the idea wasn't the greatest. But I'm not renowned for accuracy when it comes to making things. So this is what I made during lockdown. And I thought to myself today, I wonder if I could sell it in church. I wonder if... Oh, you see? Isn't this exciting? I'm sorry for those people who are online. This is not an online auction. Okay? So if I was to try and sell it today, do an auction, I wonder what kind of money I could raise. Can I say, I'm today going to say, this is not for church funds, okay? That is not for church funds. It's for me personally, for all the hard work I put into making this pot. So, it does have a reserve, by the way. I thought to myself, there is a price that I am not, you know, there's a level I have set. So I'm not going to give it away for nothing. You thinking, I can get that for 5p.
So £1,500.
No, I'll give you, you can have a fair price. Okay, so if anybody would like to bid, Stuart, do you want to come and help with the auction? Just to say, Sue and I have been working on the card machine this morning, and unfortunately it's not working. So it'd have to be a cash or an IOU. Yes. Okay. So I've got a man at the back who is interested in buying my pot.
£5.
£5.
£5.
You've got it,
I think you've got it, mate. Yeah.
Your glasses on now, Morris. So, we've got a bid of £5 for those who are online. £5 for my pot. Is anyone else? £10! Shirley?
£50.
£50! Just a minute. I'm going to okay. Now, I feel this could go really high. Okay, and Shirley, I bless you, and I know I've worn these clothes quite a lot, but I don't need money for new clothes, okay? But I'm going to say no, because I've set a reserve on this, okay? And the reserve is £150. Now, Shirley, not. So I'm gonna say no. Mike is saying no. There's no way she's paying 150. And do you know why I've set the reserve at 150? And you think that's ridiculous? But you see, inside my pot is a diamond ring. So Shirley,
sold.
I'm not sure it's actually a diamond ring. But you see, actually, thanks to you. The truth is, you see, this, to be honest, you know, you'd look at it on a car boot table, you'd look at it and just pass it by and say, I don't want that. It's not particularly well made. It looks very fragile. But you see, the value is what was in it. And this morning we're going to talk about a Bible verse that says that we have, yes please Dave, we have treasure in clay pots. And this verse, I've been working through the Bible and did a bit on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this verse just really hit me, that we have treasure in jars of clay. We're going to look at that. So it's found in 2 Corinthians 4, if you want to kind of turn it up in your Bible. And we'll talk about the treasure, but we'll also talk about the clay pots. So this morning, I could have given the title, Cracked Pots, okay? Because when I look around the church, that's very often what I see. But we are jars of clay with treasure inside. And that's what Paul has to say. Paul is talking about the gospel. He is the apostle. He's talking about his mission as an evangelist. And he talks about this gospel. And he comes out with this phrase, we have treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. So we're going to look at that this morning because, you know, actually when he talked about jars of clay, the people of the time would have gone, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I got them in my cupboard. I know what you mean. And in a sense, what he's saying is if we were to take that to today's kind of analogy, we wouldn't think of jars of clay. We would probably think of jam jars. Or we would have those, you know, when you ever take away in those little plastic tubs. Don't know what you mean, says Ryan, I bet you do. You know, those things that you really have no value, you just want to kind of, you use them and, you know, you think, oh, well, I don't need that anymore. You know, you put it out for recycling, if it's a glass jar, you put it in with 300 other pots of plastic containers in your drawer because you just might need it one day. And that's what he's talking about, that kind of thing that was disposable. But the other thing he would have realized was the people of the day, they didn't have banks. They didn't have safe places to put their money. So very often, they would get their silly little pots and they would put their money in and just put it amongst all the other pots. So if somebody came to their house to burgle them, they'd have to go, oh, where is the money? And they'd have to work through all these kind of useless jars. And so they understood what it meant to have treasure in jars of clay. So as we think about those jars, what can we say about them? We can say that actually, the picture is that actually we are all, if we could have a slide, Dave, we are all like those jars. We are like them because we are frail, we are fallible, and you could say that we are fallen and have no natural beauty. I'm sorry that, you know, some of you might find that quite hard, but actually when it comes to human beings, you know, what is the value? The second thing I would say is that we've been created by God. We are God's workmanship, okay? We've been created by him. And it does say in Psalm 139 that we are wonderfully made. We have been wonderfully made. In fact, when it came to the Apostle Paul, he called himself a vessel for God. So being created by God, we have been created by him for a purpose. And then lastly, the third thing I want to say is that we are to be filled by him. Now, I find this truly amazing because we are all broken people, aren't we? We're all frail, we're all fallible, we all sin, we all do things that we think we shouldn't be doing, but we end up doing them anyway, and that's what Paul said. And yet God decided that he wanted to put something very, very precious in each of us who are believers. Now, what I didn't do, and it might have added value to this, is I didn't sign my name on the bottom. I should have put Will Ross. To show that I was the one who created it. I was the one who made it. And in a sense, we have that God's thumbprint and fingerprint upon us. But more than that, he says, I want to fill you with something amazing. So actually, I was going to call it oxymoron, but that's not the right word. Where in a sense, we're frail and almost disposable. But on the other hand, we are very, very precious. Yeah. And God says, in this thing that I have made, I want to put my power, my love, and all those things. Yeah. He wants to do something in us, which is not dependent on how good you are, but it depends on your relationship with God, whether you have accepted Christ into your life. So let's talk about the treasure, shall we? And I've got three things. I know, it's always three things. Three things I want to tell you that God wants to, that God has put in you, okay? So if you're a believer today, these things are in you. It's whether they are, whether they're being expressed and experienced by you. So the first thing we want to talk about is God's love. It says in Romans chapter 5, I'll read this. It says in 5:5, chapter 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So today, you have the love of God poured into your life. Woohoo! Do you feel loved today?
Come on.
Oh, three of you. Hallelujah! Do you feel the love in the room?
Come on.
You do, because you have God's love poured. It says in the Bible, okay? Do you believe the Bible?
Come on.
Some of you do. Hallelujah. We're getting there. If you believe the Bible, you believe what God has said, that he has poured his love into your life. Should that make a difference?
Yes.
Of course it should. It should make a difference every day, shouldn't I? Because you should feel the love of God in your life. You should be experiencing it. And it should help you to love God and then love others. And that love is such a precious thing. It is such a treasure because it is life transforming. If we look at the world, what the world is longing for and what people are chasing after, they're chasing after pleasure, they're chasing after possessions, they're chasing after power. Why? Because they want to feel something. And what we know is that all those things may make them feel good for a moment or for a season, but they do not last. Working through Ecclesiastes and King Solomon and all this stuff, and he says, do you know, it's like chasing after the wind because I cannot get enough to make me feel satisfied. And he says, there is nothing under heaven that will satisfy us. And the implication that everything that satisfies you is above the sun. It's above the sun where we find satisfaction. And as God's people, we have been given the love of God. Because actually, being a Christian, you know, you get this. Being a Christian means you need to love God. Okay, we're okay with that, aren't we? We do our best. But then also it means we have to love other people. Okay. Well, I love the people I love, but sometimes loving other people can be hard. So what's God done about it? He's put love into your life so that you can love him back and you can love others. And it is such a treasure, isn't it? And I feel that, you know, as God's people, we don't really enjoy the love God has for us. Why is that? Why is that? I was thinking about that, and I thought to me, and what came to my mind is the shower, okay? Now, I'll just explain that to you. I go to the gym, and in the gym, they have a very special shower, okay? And the shower has three buttons. Maybe you've got this at home. Maybe you've got a really fancy shower. And so you press the top button, and the water comes down, and it's warm and lovely. You press the middle button, and the water comes to you from the side. It's absolutely freezing. And then the third one, I never press the third one. I don't like number two, but number three could be even worse. But what I realized is you, if you want to, you can stand there like that and press one and two, and you get that there, and you miss all this. And I get a sense where, you know, actually, for some of us, when it comes to the love of God, we have to position ourselves in a place where we can receive that. And that means seeking after the love of God, seeking the Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to wash our lives clean, to dwell in the Word and take it in and really kind of feed on it. Because the love of God is kind of, God wants to pour his love into our hearts. It's whether we are positioned to receive that love. Because you see, when you are filled with the love of God, you will love God and you will love others, and others will feel the love of God. Going to move on because we need to talk about number two. The second one is, this is quite a challenging one, because we are going to talk about being filled with the gospel. So this, context of what Paul is talking about, he's talking about the fact that they have been preaching the gospel. And you can see that if you look at verse, oh, I need to put my glasses on for this bit. It says this, and he talks about how they preach the gospel. The gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What beautiful language. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so he's talking about how the fact that he was preaching the gospel to some people, they just did not get it. It was like they were blinded to it. But to others who received it, they came to understand the glory of God, the face of Jesus. And so the gospel is good news. Okay? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know that. Okay? Next question. Do you really believe it's life-changing stuff?
Yeah. Come on.
Next question. Hardest question of them all. Do you share it with anybody else? Not so many yeses, because it's really hard, isn't it? And I do feel there's a sense that the church perhaps has taken steps back after COVID and perhaps lost some of its confidence, maybe confidence in the gospel and what it can do. But the gospel hasn't changed. COVID hasn't changed the gospel. What COVID has done is actually make the needs of people so much more evident.
Yeah.
And they realize that the money, you know, money, work, jobs, career, you know, when you're faced with death, it can't save you. And we now have a society who is very fearful. We have a society where people are really feeling alone and isolated. They're struggling with mental health. I spoke to a mental health practitioner yesterday. She showed me the statistics of the number of people who are accessing mental health services. And she said in 2019, it was 92,000 people. 2020, it was 198,000 people. Doubled, just like that. So the needs out there are huge. And what do we have? We have good news. We have the gospel. But the question is, are we willing and ready to share it with others? So let's do a quick summary, shall we? So, okay, what do we know? We can know, if we have the gospel, okay, which you have, you're a Christian. I look around the room, I think most people here are Christians. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian. So what do you have? You know God as Father, amen?
Amen.
Let's see if we can warm up this audience. Okay, we have Jesus as Savior.
Yes.
We have the Holy Spirit within us.
Hallelujah.
Ah, good, Stuart, you know those people who warm up the audience before the comedian? Oh, you'd be good at that. Come on. We've been forgiven. We have grace and mercy. We have hope. We have eternal life. We have purpose. We have power. We are loved with an everlasting love. We have peace. We have joy. We have been saved for eternity. We will be welcomed into heaven. We've been taken from darkness into light. And so much more. How do you feel today? You come to church, and I've told you all the things you got, and you're still going, oh. How can you feel like that when you look at what God has done in you? How can you feel like that?
Yeah.
And maybe it's about positioning, getting into a place where you start to understand, I am a child of God. All my sins have been forgiven forever. I am going to heaven. I do not need to fear the future.
Yeah.
My past has been cleansed. When we start to understand this stuff, it will excite us and we'll suddenly realize, hey, I need to give this away. Because giving it away means that other people can know that too. And wouldn't it be sad if in a year's time this church hasn't changed at all because we haven't given away what we've been given? Jesus said, freely, freely, you've been given. Give it away. Share what you have so that others might know. When I was growing up, we had a great guy in our church, Colin Richards. And as young people, he would take us out. I think I've told you this before. We'd go to the top of Southbourne thing. And there was a lift at the top. Yeah, and people used to come up and down the lift. And the thing was, when they came out of the lift on a Sunday evening, there was Colin with about 20 young people, a load of guitars, all singing gospel songs at them as they walked out of the lift. And he would be preaching, and then one day he said, Will, I want you to preach. But I did. It was a great experience. And you got all these people walking past. Absolutely. Oh, no. But it was a great experience. But Colin always used to say, you know, if you had a cure for cancer, would you share it? Or would you just keep it yourself? Oh, look what I found. Oh, this is good. Or would you give it away? I just want you, this church, to realize the precious treasure you have in the gospel. And it's not just for you to hold on to, but it's for you to share. And we've got Alpha on Tuesday. Not many people are coming. Maybe tomorrow is a chance to invite someone and bring them along. Yeah. So that they too can hear about Jesus. Because today in society, people don't get to hear about Jesus. Okay, there is one more thing I need to say, and then we're going to hand back to the worship team. And it is all about filled with the Holy Spirit. It gets better and better, doesn't it? We've been started with the love of God. We've now got the gospel. Now we've got filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the treasure in you. I'm doing my best.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit in you. And that is just amazing, isn't it? Because
yeah.
Let's go back to this thing. Okay? That's very kind of you to say £5.
I didn't say £5.
Didn't you?
Pretty.
Oh, you said it was pretty. Well, that's a compliment, isn't it? I'm very kind of you to say five. And Shirley, I don't know what you're on. But it's not great. Something in it is so, so precious. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The treasure of God. But the power of God. Do you know, and as Christians, so often we kind of feel, I can't do that. I can't go and tell other people about Jesus. I don't have the words. I don't have the strength. I don't have the courage. So what does God do about that? Gets the Holy Spirit and he pours it into your life. And actually what he says is, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit to transform you. Do you know, if you look at what Paul was going through in this passage, and I have to put my glasses back on. You'll see that he went through so much to share the gospel. I just need to find the verses. Here we go. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, you think Paul was having an easy time? No, he was having a rubbish time because he was taking the gospel to people. And some people just didn't want to know and some people rejected him. You just need to read the book of Acts, how they were rejected, how they were chased out of cities. But it didn't stop him. And he could keep going because he had the power of the Holy Spirit within him. And so Paul kept pushing on. And what he says is that we've got this treasure and we realize that this surpassing power comes from God. Okay, this, and just think about that phrase. He says the all-surpassing power. Okay, so when we're thinking about the power that God puts in your life, we're not thinking about like a little trickle charge. Some of you got an iPhone and you stick it on a wireless charging mat and it kind of gives you a little charge. He's not talking about having a little charge. He's talking about some kind of all-surpassing power that can fill your life, that can transform you, and can make you into somebody who can live for God in a powerful way. I'm a bit like this. I like new things. So I was looking at the iPhone 13. You know, some of you sat there, you still got your sixes, but they're now on to 13. And it's £1,300. Okay, so that kind of money. But it's somewhere, I've read this article, this supernatural phone. I'm going, phone is supernatural? Wow. That's why it's £1,300. Oh, thank you. Someone else has been reading it about it. But you see, the thing is, we're talking about a phone that's supernatural, and that's rubbish, isn't it? How can it be supernatural? But you as a Christian, get this. You are a supernatural human being. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And God is supernatural because God can do everything outside the natural. And so I want to encourage you today to not to think about yourself as just a pot, a cracked pot, but I want you to think about yourself as a pot, a clay jar filled with the power of God. Because that will transform your life. And we're going to talk about this next weekend, how the Holy Spirit transforms us. How the Holy Spirit enables us. I was thinking about four things, and I can't find them in my notes. I was thinking about being a Christian and the Holy Spirit being 4G, okay? Hearing God's voice. The glory of God in us. God guiding us. God's grace upon us. All these things, the Holy Spirit brings so much to us. And again, it's for us to use what we have, isn't it? God has put treasure in us. And what happens to that treasure? Is it used to live for God? I was driving up from Kempshot up to Aldi on Friday. Don't normally do shopping very often. Tracy likes doing shopping. I'm going up the hill, and all of a sudden, there is a queue from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. I'm going, crazy. What's going on? Must be an accident. So then you crawl up the hill. Instead of doing 50 or 49 like I do, you get to the top and then suddenly realise they're all going into Sainsbury's. There must be a run on cabbages, I'm thinking. No. Everybody wants to top up their petrol because they've been told by the government, get this, don't panic. There's loads of petrol. So what do? They all go crazy and got to fill my... I'm going, maybe I should fill my car up. No, I'm not getting in a queue that's that long just to go and get a little bit of petrol. You see, they all wanted to be filled. Oh. They all wanted to be filled with petrol. And I just want to ask you this morning. We've talked about God's treasure in our lives. We've talked about the love of God. We have talked about the gospel. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's all about positioning. Whether we're in a place, we put ourselves in a place where we say to God, yes, please, God, fill my life. Because I don't want to run on empty. I don't want to feel dry. I want to feel your love. I want to share the gospel. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can walk in the Spirit and do the kind of things Jesus did. It's all about positioning. And I would say to you today, put yourself in a place and say to God, fill me today with your treasure that I might share it with others, that I might live a kingdom life, and take others to heaven with me. Amen.